Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Helena community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? People often ask me how to sign up to Tell a Story at Tell Us Something. Go to tellussomething.org and click Tell a Story to see the themes for 2017. Click the link for the theme that resonates with you. A new page opens, and there you can complete the form. And then call 406-203-4683 to pitch your story. This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on April 6th, 2017 at Free Ceramics in Helena, Montana. 9 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, The First Time. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Aaron Parrott and is titled Confessions of a Dissolute Banjoist. Thanks for listening.
So I want to tell you about the first time I went to Alaska, but it's really a story about the first time I ever ate sushi. So naturally it begins with a banjo. When I was 18 or 19, I grew up in this town and all my friends played music. And I decided I wanted a guitar. So I went downtown. There used to be this great music store down on Last Chance Gulch called the Bitterroot Folklore Center. And I walked in there looking for a guitar, and as I walked in the door, there was this perfectly round, white, surrounded by mother of pearl and chrome, a banjo on the wall. And I flicked it with my fingers, and I was like, that's what I want. So I bought it, and that's a whole other story how I got that. This was right after I graduated from PAL, the Project for Alternative Learning, which used to be in the May Butler School. And I was headed to U of M in the fall, actually in a few weeks after this, where I moved in to a dorm room with a guy. I showed up with my banjo and some books, and it quickly became a full-scale war to see who could drive the other one out of the dorm room faster. And he was learning Chinese, so it was a strategic war between his endless Wo Hin Hao, Ni Hao Ma, and my forward and reverse roll, tink, 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 tink. I don't have to tell you who won this war. So a couple months later, I'm all alone in my dorm room, playing the banjo, smoking a lot of pot and playing the banjo. And I got pretty good, and by the end of the term, I was, you know, in a band and had a girlfriend. And she went to Alaska, didn't invite me. And the rest of my band also went up there. And actually, you know, they did invite me, but I was like, gutting fish doesn't sound like much fun. They were all going to go work in a cannery. But after a month of miserable heat in Missoula, by the end of June, I was ready to get out of town. And I thought, you know, I'll hitchhike up there. So I sold everything I owned, which was a camera and some books. Got about $200, and threw some clothes in a bag and grabbed my banjo and went out on I-90, put my thumb out, and waited about 2 hours for my first ride, which was an Indian guy going to R. Lee, and he said, well, I'll get you to the Y. I said, I'm going to Seattle. So he dropped me off at the Y, and then 5 minutes later, my second ride. And the guy pulls over, and I tell him I'm going to Seattle, and he says, well, so am I. I'll take you right to the airport. And I get in this car, and he says, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, the only reason I stopped was I saw that banjo. He said, I'm learning the harmonica, and I thought maybe we could stop and have a jam. Nothing better. Harmonica and guitar, or banjo. But he was a pretty well-traveled guy. He looked over at me at one point and said, how old are you? I said, 19. He said, this is your first time hitchhiking, isn't it? And I said, yeah. He said, 19. He said, by the time I was your age, I'd been around the world twice, hitchhiked through all 50 states, saw two rodeos. But he gave me a lot of valuable advice. Dropped me off at the airport in Seattle. I went to the ticket counter and slapped my $200 down and said, I need to get as close to Homer, Alaska as you can get me. And she said, well, $200, I can get you to Cordova. And I figured, oh, that's great, I'll hitchhike from there. So I fly into Cordova. The only way in or out of that place is on a boat or a plane. But I didn't know this yet. And I was out of money, so it took me a few days to get enough money to fly to Anchorage. And then I, you know, leave Anchorage at 10 o'clock, start hitchhiking down to Nanilchik, which is about 40 miles from Homer. This is where my girlfriend was working in a cannery, and I thought I'd start there. So I head out with my banjo, and I get a ride from this crazy guy, 350-pound logger, who was convinced that the solution to all of Alaska's problems was to stage a boxing match between himself and the governor. So he told me about that the whole way. But he did get me to Nanilchik and dropped me off. By now it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, but in Alaska that doesn't matter. It looked like it was 6 o'clock in the evening, still sunny out. And my girlfriend was working in the cannery and wouldn't be off till 8 in the morning, so I wasn't entirely sure what to do. But I walked back out of the cannery. This cannery was owned by the Japanese, and there was 6 or 7 Japanese guys standing in the road when I came out of the cannery. And one of them looked at me and said, Banjo! And I said, yeah. Come with me! And I thought, you know, I don't have anything else to do. So I followed these guys to a kind of a Quonset hut, modular home kind of thing. And I walk in there and there's, you know, 50 Japanese guys sitting around tables. Nothing else in the house but coolers, lots of coolers. And they're drinking. They're just three sheets to the wind. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, he points me out and he said, this guy's going to play banjo for us. And they starts shoving Budweiser at me, which I'm like, this is great. And then I, you know, everything is dead silent while I play a tune, probably Foggy Mountain Breakdown or something terrible, I'm sure. And they went crazy, just crazy. And they're giving me beer. And then the guy who brought me in there, he says, you like sushi? And this is like 1986, and I'm from Montana. And I don't think very many people in Montana had ever heard or seen sushi. But I was like, yeah, I love it. He's like, I make you sushi. And he reaches behind him and he pulls out of one of these coolers like a 15-pound salmon, probably 2 hours out of the water. And he just flops it down on the table and starts cutting these just perfect medallions of salmon. And then he yells something to one of his buddies in Japanese, and this guy gets out a big plate, and there's just a whole artist palette of all these little wasabi or sauces, just incredible colors. And he gets all this fish arranged on this plate, and I'm like, where is he going to cook this? And then he just shoves it at me. And, you know, I'm 19, and I just had this, it was like a crash course in international relations, because I realized at that moment that they had invited me into their sanctum sanctorum to play the banjo. And this was, I had to eat this fish. It was raw, and I was going to eat it. So I did, and it was great. I loved it. And I walked out of there a couple hours later, you know, snot slinging drunk, with about five pounds of salmon in my gut. And then, you know, next day ended up down in Homer, hooked up with my band. Things with the girl didn't work out. But, you know, I learned that there are a few things that you can do in your youth more profitable and entertaining, illuminating even, but certainly interesting than to buy a banjo. Because I would say most of the interesting people I've met in one way or another, many of them in this room, I first met by way of the banjo. Thanks.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Parrott is a professor of literature and a letterpress printer at the Territorial Press in Helena, Montana. He is working with artist Seth Roby to make a letterpress book that will include 9 stories he's written and 13 wood engravings. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building and has become a destination for nationally touring musicians. TheWilma.com, CabinetParts.com. The number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Good Food Store, supporting Western Montana farmers and ranchers for almost 50 years, The Good Food Store supports local folks creating their own beer, salsa, baked goods, ice cream, and more. The Good Food Store is a passionate supporter of Missoula nonprofits, supporting multiple organizations, events, and fundraisers every year. Learn more at goodfoodstore.com. Missoula Broadcasting Company is locally owned and operates 4 radio stations. The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM 105.9, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, your at-work listening station. And ESPN 102.9, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Enlighten Lab Float Center. Enlighten Lab Float Center is a spa featuring sensory deprivation or floating as a wellness therapy. Unplug, reset, and recharge in their state-of-the-art float tanks. Learn more at enlightenlab.com. That's ENLYTENLAB.com. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design, and are a proud supporter of the arts, hosting First Fridays every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. Podcast production by me, Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers, Emily Free Wilson, Elizabeth Rivard, Laura King, Andrea Crossguns, me, Mark Moss, Sarah Elkins, Andy Shirtliff, Jessica Peterson, and Aaron Parrott.
Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. If you're interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at mark@tellussomething.org. That's mark@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by me, Mark Moss.
For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. Check out the website to listen to 6 years' worth of stories, tellussomething.org. For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. Check out the website to listen to 6 years' worth of stories, tellussomething.org.